When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
OnlyPage.com VIP access to all things me. New content uploaded several times a week, including members-only live streams, golf instruction content, and behind-the-scenes footage. OnlyPage is the only way to connect with me off social media. Sign up today at OnlyPage.com. Again, that's OnlyPage.com. Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to ShotScope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Playing Around podcast. I'm your host, Paige Renee. And today we're doing a Q&A on my business and personal brand. So let's just get right on into it. We're starting off strong with this first question. It says, do you feel your personal brand, though tame, is hurting you in the golf industry? It's a very interesting question, and I'm excited to get into this because there are so many pros and cons to the brand that I've built. First off, a pro is I love being authentic to myself. I love feeling sexy. I love my body, and I have a very good sense of humor, and it tends to be quite cheeky at times. That's just the type of content that I naturally gravitate towards and that I enjoy creating and that comes easy for me. And so I love shooting content that I find funny and that I think other people find funny and interesting. Life is so shitty sometimes that I think on social media, you need to be able to get away. And that's not what is really happening right now. There are so many horrible things going on in this world, and you go look on social media and it's everywhere, and there's discussions about that. And although I think that is quite helpful to have all of those discussions, I think you also do need an escape. And so I like for my content to be an escape, and for that it needs to be fun and not something that people take too seriously, because I don't take myself too seriously. A comment I always get is, you're doing this because this is how you make money. And yes, I think that the way that I dress does get me attention, and I have built my brand on my appearance and my body, and it does capture a lot of controversy at times, which you do need to grow in this industry. But within golf, it is such a conservative industry that more than not, I am told that my content is too edgy, that it's too controversial, that it's too risque. And so a lot of these companies don't want to work with me. I've been very fortunate and lucky to find companies who do align with my brand, but there has been so much pushback. And I would say that's one of the more difficult things that I have to deal with every single day. It's been 8 years, And I always thought that if I got to a certain point in my career where I had a great following and I had an engaged audience, that it really didn't matter the type of content that I was posting, that people would want to work with me because I know I can give a lot to a brand. And we have seen that within the data and the numbers, and numbers don't lie. But still, there is this preconceived notion on who I am and the content that I create that definitely does hold me back within golf. I honestly don't think that my content is that risque compared to a lot of other things that are on the internet, but when you compare it to golf, it is. And so it's exhausting having people question your character and judge you based off of an outfit that you're wearing, when in reality, I am very different than the character that I play online. And I rarely drink, I've never done drugs, and I'm not saying people who do this are bad people, but you know, I don't promote that. I really don't promote any bad behavior or anything that I feel that would be detrimental to anyone young looking at my content. But the funny thing is that I don't have a young audience. I have adults, men, who look at my content. And so I create content for my audience. I think so many times right now, you feel like you have to create content for everyone. And that's just not the case. Do what you do really well. But again, no matter what I wear, what I say, all of the good things that I try to do within golf, there are still companies don't want to work with me. And I look at my male counterparts and I feel like they're creating content that at times can be a little bit more risque than my content. But it's different because they're a guy, and I don't want to make this, you know, a gender issue, but there's a lot of hypocrisy within the golf industry and I see it every day. And so 8 years of getting kicked in the face repeatedly of companies, you know, making this snap judgment about you and not looking at the power that I have and the amazing audience that I've captured and the good that I can do, they're like, no. And they don't even want to do a deep dive. And there's times where I've wanted to give back and raise money and work with different junior foundations and leagues and organizations. And I'm always told no, constantly, when all I want to do is just some fucking good in this world. And so I've really had to be independent, and I've had to do a lot of this stuff on my own, in my own way, which has been difficult, but it's been so rewarding. And it has been an amazing ride and journey because I have paved a path out of necessity. I mean, it first started because I needed money to pay for my golf career, but it's also developed and grown because I've had to be creative. I can't follow a traditional path that most do because I've decided to do it my own way. And I understand that I'm doing this to myself, and I'm fully aware of that, and I know who I am, and I know my brand, but I would much rather it be a difficult road while staying authentic to myself than try to chase respect from people who want me to do it their way. And so it's been a grind, it's been a journey, and I think more than not, it does hurt me when it comes to working with people within the golf industry. But I think that within the audience that I've captured, I believe that they have loved me more when I have leaned into who I really am and I wasn't shying away from it. One of the critiques that I got early on in my career was that I wasn't fully honest with what I was doing. And so once I got more confident in myself and what I was doing and why I was doing it, my content has gone a little bit more edgy, but people have really welcomed me in with open arms now with the content that I am doing. So I know that I'm doing the right thing, and I'm really happy with what I have been doing and how people are reacting to it. Next question is, you said you're not in this for money. What is your greater purpose? Obviously, everyone does their job for financial security, and I'm lucky enough to be able to have that with the job that I do. But I wouldn't say that money is my driving force when I wake up in the morning and that's not the first thing that gets me going. I would say it goes back to what I just mentioned, where there is so much hypocrisy and my parents would agree with this, and most people who know me will agree with this. I'm very stubborn, and when someone tells me I can't do something, I want to do it even more. And in the beginning of my career, I was put in this box of this, you know, sexy bimbo and who couldn't play. And every time I tried to get out of there, I tried to do something different, I was continuously put back in this box. And so I finally said, okay, you know what? I'm going to stay in my box and I'm going to do it really fucking well. And that's what I've done. I'm the best at what I do within the golf industry. And I have been leading the way for 8 years now. It's because I am confident in what I'm doing, but I also just want to stay true to myself. And I think that is my greater purpose, is that I can prove that a woman can be sexy and funny and smart and good at a craft that they've dedicated their life to. I play golf at a really high level, and there's so many times where I've done collaborations or videos with people who are a much higher handicap than me, and people still will say that they're a better golfer. And I played at such a high level, and that's never really appreciated with the content that I'm doing. And again, I know that sometimes what I wear is a distraction, or things that I do is a distraction, but I'm hopeful that people can get over that. You know, I grew up in a household where my parents allowed me to be me. My mom was a professional ballet dancer. She was a model, and my dad married a model, so clearly he was never bothered by the things that she would wear in shoots or what was posted. And so there was never any question if I was doing anything wrong when it came to the brand that I was building. My parents have always been very supportive of me, and I was brought up to never be ashamed of my body, to see the human body as beautiful. And that's the message that I try to share with everyone. And I'm not trying to push an agenda to young girls and say, like, take your clothes off, that's how you make money. It's really quite the opposite. I'm very honest about the pros and the cons and why this is a difficult journey, but also why I decide to do it. And the core message is, I do this because it feels right to me. And if you want to be sexy and that's the route you want to go, then go for it. If you don't want to, then you can go for it. There are so many amazing role models out there that everyone can look up to, and I've just decided to stay authentic to who I am. And again, I think that is the bigger purpose of what I try to do, is point out the hypocrisies and, you know, the fact that people can make a snap judgment of what I wear to, man, this girl is a slut and a horrible person and not lovable and her parents hate her. It just blows my mind, truly blows my mind. And I get it a lot every single day. And so I keep pushing, and I keep pushing these boundaries to prove a point. And it might all be for nothing, but if it's something that I feel good with and I'm passionate about, then I'm going to continue to do it.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
Now Next question is, are you the happiest you have ever been with your business and your personal brand? Anything you'd want to change? I would say that this is the most confident I have ever been with myself, and the maturity that I've had with age and just through all the ups and downs that I've had in my career, I feel very steady with what I'm doing. There's definitely times where you have self-doubt, and like I said, when you're constantly kicked in the face and, you know, people are constantly questioning your character, it can get quite exhausting. And you do have those times where you then in return, you also question yourself. And if this is the right path, there's been so many times where I've sat down and broken down and wondered if this is what I actually should be doing. Is there fulfillment in the way that I have built my personal brand? Am I actually a bad role model? Am I actually bad for golf and everything that I'm doing? And I've always come back around to being like, no, this is what I feel confident in. And I believe that my brand and my business will evolve throughout the years, and it should as I get older. And I'm excited to see where I'm going to take it. I think the one thing that I can't wait for is all the different pillars of my brand to keep growing and how it's going to continue and what it is going to look like in 5 to 10 years. Because that's not a question I can answer right now, because social media is such an interesting place and it's ever changing. And so I always look and be like, where do I want to be? And I'm always working towards these goals. But again, there's no clear path because I've paved it and I'm continuing to work as hard as I can to try new things and grow as a person and grow my own brand. My business is starting to grow a following. How do you get more credibility for your brand deals? So one thing that I feel has been the best possible thing that I've ever done within my career is not doing deals for the money. Because the way that people view influencers now is they're a little bit wary about them. And it's because people have been pushing out these products that they don't fully believe in. And so I have very rarely endorsed a product that I don't fully love. I think early on in my career, there were a couple times, again, it came out of necessity of needing money, of promoting a product that I didn't fully, truly buy into, but I learned that very quickly. And the most valuable thing that you have is the trust with your audience. And if you lose that trust, then you don't have anything. And so you can never risk losing that trust for a brand deal. So when I approach new companies, it's pretty much the same process. I try out the product, or maybe I've tried out the product previously and I love it, and then I will reach out to the company, or they'll approach me first and then I'll see if I like it. And there's a trial period of a couple months where I'll just use the product, see if I love it, see if it's something that is reliable, that I can count on, is something that I would repurchase again with my own money. And if the answer is yes, then we continue discussions. If the answer is no, then it's just not a good fit. After I decide if I like the brand or not, the next step is to see if they align with my content. I have a very distinct lane that I'm in, and some companies really love that and some companies don't like that. When you're doing a brand deal, it has to be in your authentic voice. And if they don't understand that, then it's never going to be successful. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. If people don't seem interested in what you're saying, or if it comes off too overly sponsored, then it's not going to be successful. So I always make that clear up front with the partners that I'm working with, that I need full creative control and I will tell you which platforms and when. And the companies that get it are very happy because it works out well. And the companies who push back, it takes a little bit of time, but they will finally get there because, I've been doing this for so long and I know it works and why it works. And it's a formula and you just have to pretty much do the same thing every single time. But then it comes down to you have to love the product first. You can't talk about a product in a very genuine way if you don't really know anything about it. So you have to do all of these steps to find if it's a good fit. I view them as relationships. And because most of the deals that I do are multi-year, and so you're going to be working with this company for a while, and there are going to be ups and downs, especially when you're dealing with something as precious as money. And for my audience and also for the company, it's very important that this is done well. And so you really have to respect each other. And there's almost like a courting period where you're going through different ideas. And if would this work and would that work? Because you do have to be fully aligned. And that's how you build credibility within brands and then also with your audience. Talking business, what do you consider made you feel the happiest so far this year? I would say my ability to stand out for myself more. I think early on, I was scared to speak up with what I thought was best. I always want to be a really great partner, and I thought by being a great partner, it was just saying yes, yes, yes to everything that they asked for. But that's not being a good partner. A good partner is providing feedback and giving your input on what would make things better. And so I had to learn that. But I think this year I've become so confident in the direction that I'm going and my vision of what content pieces work and where it works and really taking creative control. And I have been able to express that with my partners. And because we went through the courting periods and we've worked together for such a long time, a lot of them have been very open to just allowing me to create the content that I want to create. And so I think, again, standing up for myself, knowing when to step in and knowing how to work with others in a really productive way so it's beneficial for both parties. Next question is, how did you get started? I've talked about this a little bit, but again, it came out of necessity. So I blew up online, went viral. It was very unexpected, and I didn't have any money. And I was just starting out my pro golf career, and I didn't have like golf balls and tees and clubs and all of these things. And so companies started reaching out to me because I was getting a lot of attention online. And they're like, hey, well, you know, maybe we'll give you some golf balls if you, you know, just post about it. And I was like, yeah, I'll definitely do that. And that's really how it started, and was able to work with some really great companies kind of right off the bat. And I was so bad in front of the camera. If you look back and watch some of the first videos that I've ever done with Callaway, especially because they were one of my first big partners that I worked with, and they were really creative and they wanted to do all these different ideas, but I was so bad in front of the camera. I didn't have confidence when I was speaking. I didn't know what to say. Like, memorizing lines was so bad. I had no media training. I was just thrown into this. And I had no idea what I was doing, and it was horrible. And so there has been so many times where I've fallen on my face and gone back up and fallen again and gone back up, and you just learn and grow and adapt and trying to always come out stronger on the other side. But yeah, it was, again, no one was really doing this. There were no like golf influencers at this time. And so it was kind of like, well, let's just figure it out and see how it goes. Next question is, what do you love and dislike about your business? I would say I love how much fun my business is. I think, again, everyone takes things too seriously, and I get to wake up and talk to these companies about outrageous content ideas, and we're laughing, and it's just so creative and really just a great time. We're never having to talk about anything that is too serious, and I get to experience so many unique and interesting places and do different things because of my business and how I've set it up. One thing I dislike about my business is I would say it is difficult to expand into different areas. Again, I am in a very distinct lane, and I know that lane. I love that lane. I'm good at being in that lane, but there's often times where I want to branch out and try different things. For example, my sister and I wrote a children's book called Hattie Goes Golfing, and you guys can purchase that now. It's shipping out everywhere. But I didn't know how that was going to do. And of course, when we posted about it, there were the comments of, why would I buy a children's book by someone who has her, you know, is flaunting her chest? But the book is really great, and the illustrations are so cute, and the message behind it is so great. And so getting people to see past my appearance is something that's always difficult. And again, it's because of how I built my brand. It's like, you can't take that away because I wouldn't be where I am without it. But the times where I do want to branch out outside of that lane are times that are a little bit difficult and you have to keep fighting for it. How long did it take for you to feel like you were in a good flow when it came to your business? Honestly, I don't feel like I'm even in a good flow now. I was joking about this with my parents the other day. I was like, I've had so much change the last 7 years. Every year, there's some big life event or big change or big thing that's going on, and it's always changing, and I just want some stability. I want to get in that good workflow, and I just haven't been able to yet. But I think that's something that we can all learn, is that you can still be successful and have your life feel like it's in disarray. You don't feel like you have to stop what you're doing to fix everything, to make it perfect, to take those next steps. Obviously, you can't run without walking, and there are things you need to do, but don't let it hold you back. Like, you can still continue to be successful and still work to enhance different aspects of your business without it being perfect, and you can still do what you want to do every single day. Which income stream has been the most successful for you? I would say probably my partnerships that I do with other companies. I've worked with a lot of really amazing companies, and I'm so lucky to have the lineup that I have now. But that all came from having an engaged audience and having good content. So I would say the investment into content and always coming up with new ideas is the reason why I have been successful with partners. It all comes down to creativity and trying to push boundaries and trying to do things that are different and unique. And although at times that has held me back from working with some partners, it also is the reason why I have so many now. So yes, all the partner work has been the most successful, but it comes from all of the content creation that I have done. Next question is, what do you see your business looking like in 5 years? I hate this question because I really don't know. There's a bunch of different pillars to my business. So there's the partnership work, there is the content creation, there's the event side of it, and we're working on merchandise as well, and a couple other fun passion projects that I'm also working on. And so it's going to be interesting to see how those develop and how they grow, because I feel very confident in the partnership and the content that I create, but I really want to explore more into events. And I think that would be a play where I haven't really spent a lot of time in trying to develop and make it as successful as I want to be. And it's also the same with merchandise. We were putting out some merch a couple years ago, and it was okay, but we were just putting it out because I felt like we had to put it out. And I wasn't really putting out pieces that I love. Like, I love the towels and we do the calendars, but we've dabbled in t-shirts and hats, and it just really hasn't hit in the way that I've wanted it to. And so this year we've really been trying to find a team that can do some really interesting and fun designs. And I'm excited to see potentially what might be coming out very soon. We're testing out some new ideas and seeing what my audience likes. That's also another thing is, you know, I don't really know exactly what type of pieces of merchandise that are interesting to them, because we haven't really fully jumped into building out a massive merchandise business, because it's very difficult. All of these different pillars are different skill sets, and you have to find the right people for it to be successful, because if it doesn't all come together, then again, everything is just complete chaos, and you feel like you're always caught behind and you're running on fumes and always playing catch up. And I don't want to do that. And so there has been times within my business that we have slowed down to then, you know, speed up when it feels right. And knowing that it's okay, like, you can't compare yourself to other people and other businesses. Just because they have a big merch business doesn't mean that you also have to push something out just because you want to feel like you're keeping up with them. I think it's so easy to look around and feel competitive and feel like you're behind, and then you end up, you know, faltering because you're just doing something that isn't quite right. So I would say those are two things that I've totally forgot the question. I do that so many times when I'm doing interviews, and they'll ask me a question and I'll just start talking and I get on these tangents and then I have to like really focus and think back on what the original question was. Oh yeah, this was the 5 year. Was it the 5 year one? Okay, maybe that was it. But all I know is that we're talking about the pillars of my brand and what we want. Yeah, okay, this is the question. Oh, okay, so yeah, that's why we're talking about pillars and it all makes sense. And yeah, long story short, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just know that I'm working on a lot of really interesting, fun things. And I think it's going to be a really great year in 2024 of experimentation and always pushing myself. I think it's easy to get stuck into what is comfortable and what you know and what you do well. And so it's branching out, trying new things, continuing to nurture my relationship with you all, my amazing audience, because I wouldn't be able to do any of this without you. And I know I express this, but I don't think I express it enough. I really, truly appreciate the support that you give me. And I don't want to give attention to the negativity and the hateful comments, but that's just a part of life. And it's a part of what I have to deal with every single day. And I think that bringing those comments in does spark some very interesting conversations. And that's why I do address them. But it's not for a lack of appreciation for the good comments. I go through my DMs and I look at all of the good comments and I see them and I read them and I appreciate it so incredibly much. To be quite vulnerable, I had a really hard night yesterday. Really, really difficult. And I felt like my spirit was broken. And then I was looking through the comments on one of my last posts. And they were so kind, and you get it. You get what I'm doing. And that is so heartwarming. And I'm trying not to get emotional, but I think it just shows how much I value you. And I see the comments. I see you. I know you guys, and you guys know me. And I think that's been something that is so rewarding and special about all of this, is how social media can bring people together and lift them up. And when I'm having those hard days, I go back and I look at the DMs and I look at the comments, and to see how much love and support you guys throw my way, it really lifts me up. And it just ensures that I am doing the right thing and I'm having fun with this, and you guys see that too. So you guys are escape for me. Hopefully my content is escape for you, and that this is a really positive community, because that's something that I've always wanted to build. But I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I don't really get to talk about my business or my personal brand all too often, because we try to just have a lot of fun. So don't forget to follow Playing Around Pod on Instagram, and you know, maybe leave a nice review, some 5 stars, share with your friends. I really appreciate all the support. Bye guys.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family plus pets in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.